The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
All right, let me just do it and then you talk about
something. Okay, go ahead.
Howdy, everybody. We are the Horrible Decisions Podcast, and we are going to be in Dallas, Texas, Memorial Day weekend. Bitch, it's a Sunday. We're going to be headlining the Two Together Land Festival, and you bitches better not have no motherfucking work on Sunday. Call out, ho.
I mean, you could do that, but also, it's a three-day weekend. They have Monday off. We will see you guys in Dallas, Texas at the Togetherland Festival. Make sure you get your tickets now. We will be live on the podcast stage. That's May 26th. Get your tickets now at togetherland.com. Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy V, a.k.a. Pay the Stein, a.k.a. Dip Beach.
I'm Weezy. I may be dressed like a lesbian, but...
But you are.
I got a nigga now.
I mean, and is.
No, I look really gay.
Very gay.
I know.
Extremely gay. I mean, I don't look much non-gayer than you right now with the fucking cargos, but, you know.
Here's the thing that's interesting about me dressing like this. Don't get me wrong. Like, when I dress sexy, I think men are always like, oh, because I don't, like, do it up too much. Even drama fucking left a comment on my last thing, like, all right, chill, sis. My homeboys do not like me looking cute. But I get hit on way more when I'm dressed like this.
I don't say I get hit on more when I dress like this, but, like, I just went to, I wore these exact pants on set with, when I went on set for 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. And it just made me feel good.
Did you hear Mandy? When I was in front of Carmelo Anthony.
Super fire. And I was like, not Mello complimenting my pants. And then here go Mero. Yeah, she be putting that shit on. And do. And so to me, like, to get complimented by men, I think even their shit costs a lot. Ours, you know, we can dress fly for like $22. And so, like, when men, like, can appreciate that a woman dresses or try to put that shit on without overlooking sexy, I kind of like the compliments from men in that.
I think girls, like, have a lot of opportunity to start dressing better instead of, like, that. You know, we do a lot of matching sets. I feel like that's been a thing for the last few years. And so when you get to, like, kind of play with color and patterns and shit like that, like, we're lucky to have Pinterest and Instagram to teach us, bitch. Because on some real shit,
yeah,
how was my mama styling on these hoes like that? I don't know. But like, it's very easy to like try to learn new colorways, shit like that. So I think dudes really appreciate it because for the most part, they keep seeing the same shit.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, we ain't got a guest today. I know y'all motherfuckers happy. Goddamn.
We almost did.
I almost had to beg. I said, bitch, we need some solo episodes, ho. I'm sitting here talking to the team and they're like, we really need some solo
episodes. But we're not fighting, which is crazy. We just had really good opportunities for guests. But bitch, you know, we're like,
nah, this
bitch. Put Wolf on the mic.
I was a little annoyed. This bitch had niggas fly in. I said, bro, we really don't need guests to fly in. Like,
No. I didn't know he was flying in.
Well, two of them flew in. Did they not?
Yeah, but she was already in town on her little sex tour.
Okay, and what?
And then I didn't know he was flying.
Funny.
I found out it was a sex tour. When the girls, basically when the sex worker girls be like,
I had three clients.
Billy.
Today.
From March 10th to 14th, you'd be like, oh.
Uh-huh.
Are you in a show?
Booking them things. Uh-huh. Booking them things. I ain't mad.
Have you been fucking?
Huh.
Have you been sucking?
So, if y'all are on the Patreon, y'all know I got flew out just for a dick suck. But I did.
No, Mandy, can I say something?
Wait.
That was really funny about that Patreon episode.
Wait.
Mandy was crying because she was really having a tough day. She said, I haven't even been fucking. This podcast is so hard to do. I did suck a dick, but I haven't even been fucking. And it was like in the middle of tears.
No, so I did just get some ding-a-ling.
What the fuck?
Don't worry about that. So it was like, this is like, I'm going to call it a, okay, I came up with a name it with it on live. It's a 3-night stand. So
was it a new nigga?
This is an old nigga, but I fucked him maybe like a year ago. And
not when she was wifed up.
No, it was not. It was during a breakup. So, it was a year and a half ago then.
Okay.
God damn, it's been a long time. So, fucked him like a year and a half ago during one of 13 breakups. And literally was like, at one point was like, ooh, maybe this could be my side nigga. Didn't end up because, of course, I was in love with fuckboy.
Mm.
So, anyways, ended up going out and we were in the same room. And I was like, text him with the little eyes and was like, hope you're enjoying yourself. We're in the same room. And then he texts me back. I was like, well, I'm with my friends. He was with his friends. And then I hit him back later and was like, you enjoying yourself? And he goes to FaceTime me. And bitch, it's pitch dark. I'm like, where are you at? Because I'm still at the goddamn, at the spot. He's like, oh, I'm in bed. I said, okay, I'm leaving now. I'll meet you there. And I literally leave the event. I let my friends know, bitch, gotta go, about to go get some dick, and hopped in an Uber and went and got that dick, and it was great.
Three was night stand, good. Why?
I say 3-night stand because I might fuck him one more again, and then that's about it. I don't want a situationship. I don't want a fuck buddy. I know that that's not what I want. So in the
but
meantime.
But you don't want no dick just when you want it?
Literally, in the meantime, between time, I got one more dick session with him. And then that's it. So he gonna be my 3-night stand.
Why can't you produce them? I mean, produce.
That's not.
Pursue.
He is not someone that I'm going to pursue. I am very logical in who could and would be a partner in my life. He is not one. But the way I want to suck and fuck that dick. Uh-huh.
I knew it. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
Bitch, I'd give him an 8-9
bitch,
stand.
He getting one more.
When you wouldn't name where you were at, I remember. I'm like, good for you, Mandy. Look at you with the deets.
Oh, no. So it was really good. I do have like my one person right now that I'm kind of seeing, but his schedule's busy, mine is busy, and we have to fly to see each other. So
that's tough.
It's just not really working out that great. But yeah, this one, I got one more fuck in me before I'm like, okay. No more fucking.
Yeah.
This was fun. Maybe we can work together, you know?
Look at you working with someone you fucked. Shit happens, bitch.
Yeah, no, they still won't be on this podcast.
Shit.
Let me
throw some pussy at them when you're done.
Not be on this podcast. But yeah, so it was cute. We went like 3 rounds. I just kept making them hard and it was good. I was shocked. So shocked. It was crazy. It's not super big, but it did what it needed to do.
Ain't it funny when big niggas don't have big dicks? It's like,
bro,
is God being fair?
No.
You're rich.
He got
We're going to make that
else.
Dick a 5-inch.
Rich, fine, beautiful. Like,
what's wrong with him?
And I ain't going to hold. The dick was in. I mean, what's wrong with all men? They're liars.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Duh.
And a public liar.
So yeah, anyways, outside of that, what's been going on with you?
Bitch, let me tell you how dick make you dumb. Girl, I got invited.
You see, I'm smart. I said one more game.
I got invited to that fucking gold party that Beyonce and Jay throw and literally was like, I got plans to come home and be with my boo. I was on the plane like, bitch. Anyway, I went to an Oscar pre-party called The Night Before with Liz Goldwyn. And I realized how Black Hollywood I am to the point where like she was saying names. Oh, have you ever seen this person, this person? I'm like, no. Like, even the Black people that be in white shit, I didn't know. Like,
I didn't know if I could say what I thought yesterday. So I had a meeting yesterday at New House, which is kind of like a Soho house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in there and I'm looking around. Oh, is that what it is? New Way?
I'm pretty sure it is. Oh, I'm joking.
It's spelled like house. I don't know.
To say Newy.
Bitch, I used to call Houston Street Houston. Bitch, it's spelled like Houston. Anyway, so I'm at this place and there's a guy sitting directly across from me. White man with the white people hair. And I realized, I was like, he looks like an actor, but also all white men that look like this, I feel like they're actors. And I started realizing that a lot of white men look like white actors.
Wait, who was he?
He was just a white man that looked like he could have been an actor.
Bitch, hold on. Did anyone see my story about Robert De Niro? Oh, bitch, I'm with Akeem. We in Tribeca, right? And I was looking real cute. I had on this little tennis skirt and he's taking pictures of me in my little outfit. He's like, you look cute, girl. We had just left the gym. This white man's coming close to me. I was like,
I know this white man ain't Robert De Niro, bitch.
I said, are you John Hamm? Who, mind you, John Hamm is fine as hell. If anyone doesn't know who that is, Google him. He's on Mad Men.
Google Robert De Niro.
For some reason, I said John Hamm. I think it's because I had just seen him in a clip. And the guy stops, smiles at me and was like, no, but people do tell me I look like De Niro. And he's like winking at me. Turns back two or three times. I'm like, oh, he want to fuck me. So
Wait, stop. A whole up, that's Robert De Niro. You thought Robert De Niro wanted to give you some white dick?
First of all, Googled it, all Black women. 6 Black kids, every popping Black woman, Naomi Campbell, all of them, bitch. Called my mom and she was like, I could have fucked him. Everybody knows he wants Black women.
Wait a second, is this right?
What?
He's 80.
Yeah, he look good. Maybe because he's rich.
Who can't wait till we talk about the age differences?
Bitch, when I tell you I was thinking about
to throw that pussy to an 80-year-old.
I wasn't going to throw it.
She was going to toss it.
She said Robert De Niro,
She said, I was going to sit this pussy down. I wasn't going to throw it.
Bitch, I couldn't believe I let it go. You know what made me so mad? So me and Akeem were hanging out an hour later, right? He was like, girl, he looked back 2 or 3 times. And I was like, why didn't I do anything? I could have been saved. I could have left horrible. And I would have done my fucking speech online on live and been like, I was doing all the work. I'm tired of Mandy.
This is what we doing.
I'm just playing.
This is what we doing.
No, but you did have a monologue. That was
bitch,
funny.
I didn't really do a monologue.
I'm just playing.
I just said.
I'm not trying to be messy.
No, let's be very clear. Bitch was tired juggling that shit in your ass. This was a lot. And goddamn it, you should feel special. I chose you.
I don't need to feel special, bitch. I do an outline, ho. Creative. Come to the live shows.
Oh, okay.
Don't play with me.
Why is you being so petty right now?
I don't know what the T is. I'm just saying that's what you said.
That's what I said.
No, I really don't know. I don't know. She might have done something and Mandy could have been yelling at her and been controlling. I don't know.
What I said was it was debilitating to do both. I toured 24 motherfucking cities last year. I was dropping 5 podcasts a fucking week.
So why are you blaming me, bitch? Horrible decisions.
I wasn't blaming you. When I say debilitating, I was doing a lot and I had to drop something to do the things creatively I wanted to do. Like period sis, like my animated series.
Okay, well, I think it's
and
great.
So that was something that was no longer serving me. And I want y'all to know, with y'all petty motherfucking asses, I suggested my ex-co-host to record out of WTF Media Studios.
So I just would like to say,
that is how much, guess what? We're getting along, you guys. And I talked to my motherfucking therapist today and I was mad because I was like, I hate these comments making it seem like me and Weezy are just awful and hate each other. I said, we've been good since July. That is like 8 months. 8 months. I was like, bro, we've been good for like a good amount of time.
My nigga was like, why do everybody be acting? Because sometimes he has a family friend that like knows who we are and was like kind of asking questions about it. He's like, why does everybody act like y'all ain't good? Mandy seems chill. I'm like, since when I met you, we got...
Bro, we done hung out with each other's friends, business partners, lovers, partied at the club together, like...
I mean, no, I think it's... I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Oh, let me write this minute mark down in case we got
to
bleep it out.
I don't think we need to bleep it out. I really believe this. I think that it was...
New York sounded like New York.
I mean, fuck it.
They coming to get me.
They said, bitch, stop talking shit. No, I think like... Honestly, I think you and Bridget recorded too much. I think that's really hard. I think it could have probably been easier if you didn't have to do so much and give up so much of your lives.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I haven't had a Monday off in 3 years. We were on tour and I was literally catching 6 a.m. flights, landing in New York at 9:30, 10:30, rushing home to drop off luggage to get dressed to go record from 12 to 5 every Monday.
And honestly, Bridget seems like, whatever happened between you guys, she seems like a sweet girl. So to me, it doesn't really matter how that person is. It's still like, this is a lot. And then you're almost resenting it because you're like, fuck, I can't even live my life. And it was true. Mandy had to literally, if we had a Sunday show, be on the 5 a.m. flight to record. And I understand that dedication because I've had to do it too with Horrible and then been so like, oh my God, I've got too much going on in life. Like, it sucks. But I think our relationship improved because you were probably like, okay, this is becoming the easier show. It's not that. I feel like that. Whether that's the truth or not, I believe that.
It's a little bit of two things. I think that for as much work that, yes, that podcast took, I think being on tour and you know, we ended our tour because of the pandemic. And I think being back in front of the Whore Hive and seeing how this show has truly impacted people's lives, that knowing that I still don't want children, knowing that I want to put forth something that I do feel like is my legacy, I started also feeling like, I fucking hate that I have to be on the Shade Room every day and have an opinion about things I really didn't give a fucking about. We talked current events.
Oh.
And we talked music. And I started also just resenting that I had to be so involved with everyone else's lives and going to festivals and dealing with the labels and being in rooms with all of these celebrities that I may or may not have had an opinion about. Like, I remember even fucking being at Dreamville. Literally, Drake's right next to me, and I'm like, ooh, I hope he ain't hear me talk about his nail polish. And I'm literally just, like, realizing I don't like that that's, like, I'm now having all of these opinions about people and that I'm having to share space with these people, and maybe they view me in a... It was just... There was a lot about this show. A, I don't feel like we were building a core audience, and to be very clear, I made the decision to leave back in October, November. I had the conversation with you. So... This was almost a six, seven months ago decision for me. And it was because, and this is the part where I am so, like, this is where I feel the most happy. Our UTA agents, 6 months before our deal ended, started having conversations with other people. And we're taking calls, obviously all the people that goddamn bankrupt now. So we're having all these calls for a new deal. We're having all these other options and seeing what it is. Was it as much money? Not as much, but I ended up literally taking a phone call and I'm like, I wouldn't do this for another $1 million. Then they were like, well, how much do you want to do it for? And nothing in me was like, there wasn't a dollar amount. Nothing moved me to want to do this anymore. And I was like, wow, I'm not doing something for money. And
well,
I've been dealing with that.
Well, I think that's a good thing to know.
I've been dealing with that with my therapist.
So that tells you it's not Bridget.
Not only that, I just talked to my therapist today. There's not a price on my pussy right now. I swear to God.
The one I'm on.
I literally was like, wow, I can't imagine even laying down for a certain dollar amount. Like, and clearly that was a lot of my 20s, my late teens. And so to be able to walk away from the idea of money or a price tag at all, like, felt really good for me because I've done a lot of things that I didn't want to do for money. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm sitting here talking to my agents and literally can't give them a number as to for one episode a week. Oh, there wasn't going to be two episodes a week ever. There wasn't a dollar amount for me to do one episode a week of it.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I think it's good to know that, like, the content itself was stressful because, you know, like with the whole Call Her Daddy breakup, the thing that I really couldn't stand about Alex Cooper was not honoring Sophia. And I think it's tough when you watch.
What do you mean honoring?
Just being like, yo, I've had this new accolade in life. Like, I've done these things. I had a partner. And I think, like, even if it gets dicey in the end, like, it's good to be like, yo, I experienced this with this person. Like, you know, to have a show for only 3 years and be able to tour it and do all the things you did, like, that's great.
And I'll live with that forever. I also know that I can create another product. I can do another successful thing. I had the opportunity, my show with MTV, the opportunities I've had with Revolt, the things that I'm doing now, I don't think those opportunities come to me without, see, the thing is.
That's good. So Bridget and you definitely were able to, like, come into each other's lives to have good ventures later.
It's great, and I hope that she's able to use the platform that we both built to catapult her into whatever's next for her.
Same. Like, I think that it's like each other, right? Like, I say all the time that I'll never forget the day I walked into that house and Kenya Barris came up to me and was like, oh my God, I love Horrible Decisions. I'll always remember that because people think I applied for some fucking job or wanted to run some company. I just, like, honestly, no. And it's crazy because last week when I was working with him and he introduced me to someone, they had no idea that my work had been in sex for 8 years, seeing me on set, right, for the last week. And people don't understand how many little things in your life will get you to that bigger space.
I agree.
And so, like, everybody's a part of our journey. That's what I mean about the Call Her Daddy shit. I just kind of find it in poor taste not to be like, yo, I popped hard with somebody. Yeah. Whether Alex Cooper did more work than Sophia or not, you still did it with this person, right? And I think, like, it can be in really poor taste not to acknowledge the journey. So I think it's great that you can publicly say that because a lot of people can't.
Of course. And I think that at the end of the day, we end as human beings. We leave jobs. We end relationships. We end friendships. We end romantic partnerships. Things end. And I say it all the time. I don't believe in anything lasting forever. This was never supposed to last forever. And so to be, for people to have all their think pieces in me doing what everyone in their life has done, they've all left a job, they've all ended a relationship, they've all walked away from something that wasn't serving them anymore. That's all I did. And I'm excited for what I'm doing next. I have my animated series coming out. Period Sis will be back out.
That's
April,
great.
April 3rd. And as you guys know, y'all can now tune into Across Generations, which is an idea to launch in Will Packer Productions, where I'm producing a show that's great. And it's me growing and getting, you know, to the bag, huh?
Listen, I love being behind the camera. The best advice I ever got was Kenya saying, yo, congrats on your season 3 for your show. I said, thank you. And he goes, why are you even in front of the camera? You could make 15 shows and make 15 times the amount of money.
Oh, that's the goal.
And listen, it's it. Like, I think Alex taught me that a lot too with our studio. Like, I didn't understand having spaces, different places, having presence, being able to put your name on something and make more of them. Like, that's the goal. Like, one of my homeboys does a party. Y'all go to Jerk and Jollof whenever you see it somewhere. That nigga will have 3 parties, Detroit, New York, LA, same night, and only be at one, if none. And that's what you gotta do, right? You've gotta make your presence in a bunch of places so that you're just your name association is where people want to be. Low key, I want to do a fucking Horrible Decisions fucking party night, like a ladies night, and we may not be there. It's just the high running it, right? Like, that's how you get bread. And I want to learn what the fuck these rich people doing. Saw that shit in that Oscar party, bitch.
Oh, no.
Did you know Margot Robbie produced Barbie and Saltburn? And Saltburn, bitch. Margot Robbie, baddest white bitch. I'm sorry. I think it's Margot Robbie and Scarlett Johansson. Those are the ones, right? Never knew that. Literally,
Angelina, I like her too.
Oh, Angelina, sorry. But I'm thinking New School.
Girl, she just opened a cafe. I saw it on my TikTok.
Yeah, but in Basquiat's old house, I don't like that.
Yeah, it is. You saw it too on the TikTok.
Yeah, preserve the artist shit. You kind of whitened it up. But anyway.
Well.
Just knowing that, right? I fucking love Saltburn. And I didn't really love Barbie, but I love her. But knowing you produce these things that are getting Oscars and Oscar nominated, like, who the fuck would think she got it? From Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm surprised you didn't like Barbie.
It was okay.
You're such a feminist.
I actually didn't think it showcased enough.
Oh.
I wanted a fat Barbie.
Extra feminist.
I just kind of was like, this is a surface.
Wait, like, you didn't like it because there wasn't a fat Barbie?
I'm just saying, like, we're not talking about representation. You still made her tiny and white. We should have had Barbie, like, show the flaws. Like, I don't know. There was a few things in there that they missed.
When she became human, she has cellulite. She was like, what the fuck is this?
She was still Barbie, though.
Well, Barbie is Barbie. All the other girls was named other things.
It wasn't enough. But anyway, we only have one black Barbie, Issa. Okay, anyway.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
So I got into some weird shit recently. So if you're listening to the show, it's probably March 19th or 18th. My birthday is the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Feel free to send me money. It's fine.
Wow.
What?
I thought you hated when people did that.
Oh, yeah, but I'm doing a donating thing this year.
Oh, okay. All right.
You'll see it. So what was I going to say? I had Valentine's Day shit that I wanted to talk about. We haven't been in the studio. Bitch. When I tell you got 50 shades of black in his house. So I never really go to my boo's house because we always party downtown. So he's like, fuck it. And I got a dog. So it's normally my place. So Valentine's Day, he plans it out, right? I get to his crib. He makes me dinner. It's so sweet. He acts like a waiter. Like in very traditional Valentine's Day with the bear and the flowers and the card. It was so sweet. So we don't really smoke weed. Like it's not really our thing. But he tells me to smoke. And I didn't really understand why, but I listen. I do as I'm told. So he's like, I want you to hit this real quick. I'm like, all right. So then he tells me to smoke again. And then he's like, do you have to go to the bathroom? And I'm like, does he want me to pee on him?
Now he laced your shit.
No. I'm like, no.
Look, that's where my mind
And he's
went.
Like, I don't need interruption.
And he's like, you need to use the bathroom.
Did you hear it? So this is your brain is my brain. I'm like, what is he talking about? He's like, do you have to pee? Go pee. I don't want any interruptions. So I'm like, okay. So, bitch, I go pee. He tells me to get on the bed because he's about to give me a massage. He ties me with restraints to each part of the bed, right? I'm a fucking starfish right now. And I'm high.
The legs too?
Yes. Ankles and wrists. And literally.
I just want to say shout out to him. That means he lifted his mattress without your help because you got to put it under
the
mattress.
I thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
And bitch, let me tell you how. I'm a woman. All I could think when my boo done fucking did this shit for me and Valentine's Day, that's so sweet, and our first Valentine's Day together, I was like, is this new? Or you had this here? Because, nigga, how many bitches you tied up before? What the fuck did you do last year, February 14th? Anyway, but I tried to let that thought go. So he's giving me a massage, right? And it's so sweet. He's rubbing me down. And then finally, he gets something to blindfold me. And mind you, this may not be everybody's thing, but this was definitely my kink and it was super consensual because I'd let him know before that I wanted this. We pick a safe word and he starts to like spank me, right? And like, I feel a lot because I'm high. And remember, y'all, blindfolding is quote unquote basic, but when you remove a sense, you feel the rest, right? So I just got rubbed down and oiled. I'm super relaxed. And then I just feel all these like slaps, these spanks. And the next thing I feel is like what I think, because he never showed me, was a pinwheel.
Okay.
So he's like putting that up and down my body and I'm like giggling and shit. And he's this bitch, I'm so high. He's like, why the fuck are you laughing? I'm like, I don't know. Bitch, I was giggly. So I kept laughing and shit. And he told me to stop talking. I kept talking. And the next thing I feel is just these sharp pokes in my leg, on my skin, and what almost feels like slices. So I'm like laughing at myself because I'm like, it's not a real knife. You know what I mean? Like, because I remember Dash, the rope bondage guy, told me he uses credit cards to make you feel like a slice. And like, I know he's not going to hurt me. So then I can't stop giggling because I'm like, oh my God, baby, you're so scary.
I don't trust these niggas that much.
Then I keep getting spanked. Next thing you know, he starts eating my pussy. And now I'm getting fucked, right? And we're having sex and it's fucking great. But he's also using like the pinwheel thing again. Bro, it's so many feelings. Like I literally, it was overstimulated to the point where I'm coming like crazy and I can't see. So I don't know who's fucking me. That sounds stupid. But like really, I'm just like, what's going on? That's how high I am. So finally, because I kept talking, right? And he was tired of me talking. He come.
Because you don't listen. He said, shut the fuck up.
He did. Okay, wait. He's done. He comes on my face. And I, mind you, didn't stop talking. Bitch, this nigga basically was still punishing me. Girl, why he left me there tied up with the cum on my face while he took a shower and was doing shit around the house? When I tell you I was in super sub mode, literally tied up. I was like, can I get out? No. I was like, oh my God, I hate that I thought this shit was hot. What is wrong with me and my sick, fucked up brain that I just wanted to be left with cum all over me?
Do you know how in my mind that just made me so angry? Because I'm claustrophobic. So the idea of not being able to move.
Why didn't you use my safe word?
Fuck whatever subby shit. Bitch, she in the shower. What if I wanted to get up at the exact moment? I'm literally just thinking like, oh my God, I would have been so angry.
Oh, like, no. He kept talking to me while I was doing it too. But you never shut the fuck up, right? I was like, yeah. Bitch, I loved it. And I realized how stimulated I am at dirty talk. I didn't even need him to touch me, bitch. I almost came just from that thought of just like being left. It's so fucked up. So anyway, mind you, I said he came on my face, right? Oh, he had like
started flaking, huh?
Hold on. He had jury duty in the morning or something. So he was like, fuck. He had to drive me back. It's like 1 a.m, we're tired. The cum was sitting on my face. So it was kind of seeping into my eye. So
you never wiped your face off?
Well, after. But mind you,
like, how is it seeping into your eye, bitch?
Because it was like on my lash. Bitch, if it sit there for a long time, I don't know.
It dries up, baby.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know what type of cum I'd have had, though. That motherfucker be real quick to dry up, flake off, peel off. Like, the shit don't stay.
Well, like, you've never seen someone's eyes super red, like. Even Kazumi just posted. She like.
No, I get when nut comes in your eyes, but you say you're feeling this when you're in the car. This is.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell you what happened in the car. So once I get cleaned up, I realize too much cum went in my eye.
Okay.
So we get to the car, bitch, and I can't, like, I lost my vision on one side.
So dramatic.
So, no, I'm not joking. Like, he really had to help me in the car. And so he said, he's looking at me while he's driving. He's like, baby, are you okay? He said, I turned around like this. Okay. One eye open, bitch. I couldn't see for like 12 hours, Mandy. It was so bad. I don't know what the fuck. Y'all, I'm telling you right now, if a nigga even gets close to coming, you must close them tight and squint like a booty hole, bitch. Clench. I'm never again going to kind of try to see what's going on. Holy shit. I thought I was going to die. And then all I could think when I was Googling with one eye is like, will I get blind? I saw the squiggly line. I could see the sperm swim. It was so bad. It was so bad.
You know she lying.
No, I'm not. But Valentine's Day was great. I love him so much. Anyway. No, it's really sick. It's like this point of like, it's like two puppy love, two in love right now. And I'm like, I literally said yesterday, I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm just starting to get anxiety because like everything's right. And he's like, bro, what the fuck? Like, this is healthy. This is safe. Like, you should not feel like this because you're happy. And I'm like, bitch, I'm ready to look under his bed and see if there's a hole under there. Like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong. I don't like it. Anyway, everything's fine. So I did knife play for my first time. And I only know that it was now real knife play because when I was getting dressed, I said, what the fuck is that butter knife? You had a real knife, nigga? He's like, well, yeah, I didn't have a steak knife.
He was really using a knife? He didn't get one of them knives from the sex store?
But it was a butter knife. I would tell y'all, though.
A butter knife felt real.
It does, because you feel it. Mind you, it wasn't making me bleed, Mandy, but he was just, like, tapping it on my skin.
I would have known that shit was a butter knife. Because it's round, and it's not pointed. It's round.
Bro, you can't feel it.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. It's round.
I only
it ain't even pointed.
I felt this. I felt, like, on my...
The Ray J ain't a lot on a butter knife.
They felt enough when you blindfolded, bitch.
What the fuck type of butter knives y'all got? I got the ones from Amazon. And
have you ever been blindfolded and tied by your wrists and ankles?
I've done this, yes, actually.
And when you were blindfolded, did he pull a knife out and say, bitch, I'm a...
No, because I don't have a murder fantasy. I absolutely... Like, I told you when the nigga used to put the motherfucking pillowcase over my head, I was like, all right, now, get me the fuck up out of here. I did it for a little bit because he wanted to do it.
No, right? Remember when Mia Dark came on and she was like, oh, she chloroformed a nigga? I was like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, nah, I'm good on all that. I tell my mom all the time, bitch, you shouldn't have had me watching Lifetime at 7 years old. Now I think that every man has the ability to kill a bitch.
No, it's kind of sick of where my brain goes because I don't want to die. I just want to feel scared. And then also, you know, the aftercare is such a great thing, too, once it's over and you get the kissing and the cuddles. Like, I do appreciate men that learn about, like, a sub drop because I've had an experience where I got slapped in the face and I asked for it and then there was no aftercare. And it's just like all that adrenaline went down. I felt really sad. It was weird.
I'll say, and maybe because this relationship is newer, I had this much fun and I was this adventurous with my ex in the beginning. As I started losing trust from him due to his behavior outside of the bedroom, I realized that in the bedroom, my mind started going to really dark places. And I remember literally thinking, or feeling unsafe with him choking me when I normally wasn't.
Oof.
Like, my mind would go to, we done broke up so many times, this nigga hates me. And so I did. I actually took a break from us engaging in play like that because there was no way for me to trust him in the bedroom knowing that I didn't.
I don't
want to
say
outside.
It's newer. I don't want to say that's it's because it's newer. We need to be dating people that make us feel safe. And when we are feeling unsafe in love, not blaming you because I stayed with Old Bay too. We need to leave these niggas.
No, of course.
Because I realize now, clearly,
I felt so bad, bro. I mean, it's easier to leave these niggas.
No, it's not easier to say, bro. We need to do it.
It's easier to say than do. It's easier to say than do. It just is.
Like, I want to keep saying this. Yeah, I'm saying, like, I want to keep saying this because I want to not be ever so in love to where I ever do that again. But I will say, being in an over-communicative relationship at this point, like, there was this moment where... And this is probably as deep as I'll ever go into. And we've never fought, which is really nice. The bickering is not there. It's just very deep conversations about how we're making each other feel. But we went to an Oscar party together. And there was a cute girl that he was talking to. And I was right next to him. And I caught myself thinking if I went to the bathroom, he would get her number. Which is so crazy. Because literally, these are all my friends. Why would he do this to me, right? In a logical way. Like, why would this person do that rationally? And we got in the car. I told him that. And he was like, yo, like, I'm not going to embarrass you. I understand, like, you've been embarrassed before. I'm not going to embarrass you. Like, you have to believe and trust that, like, you're allowed to have something healthy, that you can feel free, that we can talk to other people in a room. And I don't police anything he does. But, bro, that literally happened to me with Old Bay. I hosted a Guys Next Door live show. He went to get drinks for me and my friends and was outside with a bitch. Like, it was just so tough. And now I have to relearn what openness is like and, like, safety is like. And so where I've been to the point where, like, I start my trust at 0 and then it goes to 100, now I'm trying to do it the other way, right? So I'm trying to think to myself, okay, what has he shown me? Like, what's going on? Like, am I feeling happy day to day? Like, it's really crazy because
That sounds great. Again, leaving when you don't feel safe anymore sounds great. But in engaging in sex with someone, it's easier than not to feel unsafe with a partner who you feel like is not opening up emotionally,
right,
who is lying, who has betrayed your trust. And so where again, I'm speaking from my own personal experience and a lot of the experience of my friends in my circle and maybe a lot of people listening, the way that they show up outside the bedroom in ways just innately, unfortunately, make you feel unsafe. And it's, unfortunately, very hard to feel safe with men.
I agree
or
with
people
you. I've
general.
Talked about a lot of pain on this show. And what I'm saying, the commitment to myself, I know it's easier said than done. I'm not staying with someone again that does this.
Me neither, which is why I said I'm going to fuck that nigga one more time.
I don't even
and
want...
I go have a...
No, but he's not doing something bad.
No, he's not, but it's me being in reality.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
No. What I'm saying is I know that I do not want a situationship or a casual sex ordeal with someone again, new. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to fuck him one more time because I do want to fuck one more time.
Yeah.
And then moving forward, I know I'm going to intentionally only put myself specifically sexually, out into the world as someone who is emotionally available to love and receive love.
And it's
and intimacy.
Crazy because yes. When you're in it and it starts to feel good, we're so people, men that date men, women that anybody. When you've been hurt by somebody before, all you can do is sometimes compare. And I'm really unlearning that. And I've been through so much therapy and I was ready to date when I met him. I didn't realize I wasn't ready to like fall in a deep love without being scared. So that shit is like really fucking with me, bro. Like sometimes when my mom talks about how great he is or they've made jokes about kids together, I'm like, stop telling me. Like, I don't want my mom to say it to me anymore because I don't want to like over fantasize the idea. And I realize like this is trauma. My white friends don't go through this, bro. These white bitches do not be acting like this.
They have their own traumas.
They do, but I just feel like there's some, I saw something on Twitter about this, about like how come white people be posting their partners, but we don't. I don't know if that shit is real or not, but like, I feel like the trauma that my white homegirls have been through is kind of different. For example, one of my black male friends in his 50s said this to me. He said, we are from a society where having multiple women is cool. Pimp shit, player shit, rappers, whatever. Oh, we had the cool uncle, always had a different bitch. He was like, right? He said, white people's trauma is this like, ghosting shit, never getting committed. He's like, it's this different thing. It's this hierarchy of money, not feeling like you're enough. And he was like, it's more about the woman than it is. I don't remember how he said it, but I do agree to that. I agree to some point when it comes to black men.
So I think you're leaving.
I don't think white men have that player shit mentality.
Well, I think you're leaving out a big part of
what?
Just our history as the black community. So we had the crack epidemic in the 80s. And in the 90s,
black men leaving the home.
It's not only black men leaving the home. And this comes from my own personal upbringing and my environment. When welfare was introduced, you literally got government assistance and you couldn't have a man in the home. If a man, if you got a welfare check and male shoes were found, your government assistance could be taken away. So they created also this almost need for unfortunately our community, and let's be very clear, white people are on welfare and government assistance as well, but it almost pushed the narrative that being a single mother, you received more help than if you were
See, you're talking about something different, which
no.
I still agree with though.
What,
you're,
what am I talking
to
about
me,
different?
What you're talking about is the notion that like women and their independent, like this bag you're in is a conversation of women don't need a man type shit. Like I think that-
No, they still wanted a man.
I know, but I do believe some of that has to do and is coupled with women feeling stronger alone, feeling like they have to get used to being alone because that's where they learned it from. I'm talking about men simply having the need to have more women.
That's not what
I don't think these two are related.
So no, if we're talking about the reason why maybe you feel that black people hide their relationships, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, hiding relationships.
That's
okay.
What we were talking about. You're talking about men wanting multiple partners. If we go back to way back in the day, everyone had multiple partners. I think that that's what's great about this show now. We're just now able to have the conversations around non-monogamy and people are forthcoming with that. But men have always had multiple families.
All men are cheaters. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Most men are cheaters. Like, I don't think black men are cheating more than white men or anything.
No, they all got multiple families.
But I do think cheating is more celebrated with
men
us.
Men is jumping through the middle.
I believe that. I actually don't know how they I don't think if there's even a room to argue that. Niggas having a lot of bitches is cool. according to rap music, hip hop, that it's just been a culture, bro. White music don't talk about hoes and having a bunch of bitches in music. Like, it's just not like that.
Girl, you better listen to country.
Okay.
Country music talks about, like, I don't want to put this on.
I think rock music talks about sex, rock and roll. But even in terms of side bitch, main bitch, white people ain't never, what term was that? Mistress? And even then, they've always painted it in this high class way. And you have this, like, there's a picture. And I, again, think, yes, mistresses were never celebrated. They was always looked down upon. Black men having multiple women is celebrated. It just is. And so that's
the same way boys growing up are pushed into manhood, like, go have sex. And women are told to protect their bodies. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a difference in, period, the way men are viewed in society and women. We're not going to get away from that. And I also don't think that it's a race thing. I think it's just how we are.
I do, bro. Black men are being amazing fathers right now. They're more active in their kids' lives.
I'm not saying they're not at all.
No. You're saying you don't think we're going to get away from it. I think that there needs to be more dialogue and celebration about whether it be monogamy with black men honoring their wives. Whether or not there's rumors about LeBron cheating on his wife or not, the image of him and Savannah and his perfect all-American family is so important for black men and women to see, just to know that it could be possible. And then
you just brought up the rumors.
Because there's rumors with everybody. We want to take everybody down when they're happy. That's just true. But I'm saying, like, we need to see more of that shit. I love seeing Sierra and Russell Wilson. Matter of fact, I'm going to actually say something crazy. When Natalie Nunn got with her husband and she was posting all that family content, I thought that was super cute. And I don't like her, but I kind of liked seeing it. Like, okay, city girl got a man. Like, I think it's really good and healthy to see these types of things. And we need more of that shit. But unfortunately, because we don't have it, we're all just so used to, like, expecting a man to cheat on us and leave for another woman. And I do think it has to do with the shit that's been perpetuated in black culture. Even masculinity is associated with multiple women. Look how we look at Russell. Like, he's a bitch because he done took on another man's kid or whatever. Like, it's the most manly thing you can do. I don't know if white people are having that kind of celebration when it comes to bitches. Like, I don't see it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I don't think it does to the degree in which we have it.
I wouldn't know. I don't hang with crackers.
Yeah.
You literally, I can't speak on white people, but I guarantee you they deal with the same shit we do in a different, they just say it different.
Well.
You know what I mean? We playing spades, they're playing beer pong. It's just a different, you know, it's the same shit. We had a house party, we just do different shit.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
What up, brethren?
Y'all, make sure you get your tickets now. May 5th, we are at the Earth Theater in London.
Listen, we made this a specific request to be in London on the weekend so that all of our Euro people can come and see this. We want our horror.
Not our Euro people.
European.
Okay.
European people. Whatever. All the black people that live over there, just take that motherfucking Eurostar and come and see us. We're going to be there May 5th. We are having a whole new show, one that you didn't see. This is a part of the Climax Tour. So even if you were on the Climax Tour and you need a little trip, it's going to be warmer. It's going to be fun. Come through and see us.
That's right. Make sure you head on over to whorehive.com and get your tickets now.
Let's talk about something else that we're going to fight to the tooth about.
I
want to start with white news first, because I actually just found this out from one of my white friends. And I keep talking about this white bitch because I helped her move. So I've been with a white friend for 2 days.
Okay.
So I was like, yo, do you know who Drea is? She's like, yeah, I love a basketball girl. So I'm like, did you hear what happened about Drea? She's like, bitch, this reminds me of Miley Cyrus's mom. Has anybody heard about this?
I love Miley Cyrus.
I fucking love that we don't know what the fuck is going on in white world, because Liz Goldman had to fill me in at that Oscar shit. So Miley Cyrus's mother's name is Tish Cyrus, okay?
Okay.
She just got married to a man.
I know her daddy, Billy Ray.
She just got married to a man named Dominic Purcell.
Ooh.
So.
What color is he?
I don't know, white, I think.
Okay.
There is another daughter, a sister, Miley's sister, Noah.
Half sister, full sister?
I don't know. Okay. But what I do know is Noah dated the man Dominic Purcell. They have been seeing each other for a time before he entered a relationship with her mother. They were seeing each other in a friends and benefits way, on and off. They stopped seeing each other, and then something with Tish, her mother, started up. The source further claimed that the youngest sister was offended by the relationship, saying that her mom knew she had been seeing her. He had been seeing her. The mother never gave her a chance to talk about this before they got married. She hired security to make sure that the daughter wouldn't show up to the wedding. And she's been spiraling out of control, trying to figure out a way to defuse this. And so Miley Cyrus claims she had no idea. Everybody's saying that's not true. Noah, the sister, confronted her mom about it, thinking it was so strange of a situation. But she loves her mom, wants her to be happy. And then basically said she's going to remain loyal to Billy Ray. They've had a close relationship and she doesn't approve of her new man. So, yeah.
This is a great example of white news that's already happened in black culture. We literally, a year or two ago, were talking about how Diddy was dating Lori Harvey. Before Diddy started dating, Lori Harvey was dating his son.
Oh, right.
So, again.
But I don't know if that was true.
Oh, it was true.
Dating.
I think it was the Christian Combs one. Can we fact check it?
Because everybody hangs out with them.
Or it was Quince. Bro, they were dating.
Okay, so maybe she wasn't dating Diddy.
And then she was on the yacht. She was on that yacht, bitch. Baby, she was. Alone.
She was.
With just the chefs and the motherfucking captain. Bitch. You see, look. Eddie, it's the same shit. See? Black people, white people doing the same goddamn shit.
No, that shit's sick. Well, actually.
Okay, he didn't marry her, but that's the only difference.
Yeah, he didn't marry her.
But everybody only got a year contract with Lori anyway.
So, Drea Michelle, who, God, I love her body. She is inspo to me. Drea Michelle, 39 years old. Is having a baby with NBA star Jalen Green, who just turned 22. He was 21. There's a 17 years age gap. Everybody thinks it's weird. I'm not going to make the long story long, but I will say her son is the same age.
Yep.
So.
You think we're going to disagree on this?
I feel like you're going to say it's not wrong, and I think it is.
Okay.
The reason I do is mainly because of her kid. I think it's weird. I also think it's very strange when men date women the same age as their daughters. One of my favorite 90 Day Fiance people is the dude with no neck, Ed. Actually, last year on my birthday, someone sent me a cameo from him. That was cool. But I remember his daughter, the thing on the show was his daughter wouldn't talk to him because he was dating a girl younger than her. I do think it's super weird when people date someone the same age as their kids. I understand sex and experiences and like maybe this fun thing. I understand paying for sex, like sex work could be younger. Like, But I do think it's weird. I think Drea is gorgeous. And I think she's in the industry enough to get anyone she wants. I understand Jalen Green is super rich and making money, but I find it predatorial and I don't think it's a good look.
Okay. So I don't have a problem with it. I don't see a problem with it. I think it's very hard to talk about bringing up the age of your son. She had her son, I believe, at 17. Like, it was a teenage pregnancy.
Doesn't matter what kind of pregnancy it was.
That's fine.
Well, this is a teenage pregnancy.
So that's my problem.
Oh, wait. One moment. Ex-girlfriend babysitter. No, we should talk about that.
So that is my problem. My problem is this relationship with a 39 and a 22-year-old being misconstrued as predatorial, as pedophilia, as grooming. I wanted to read, because I think that we've been talking about these words so much, and it really bothered me. Grooming is when someone builds a relationship, trust, and emotional connection with a child. Grooming in adult relationships is all about control and dominance. Grooming is a form of manipulation that is often extremely difficult to spot when a person doesn't know what to look for. Mm. Now, in this specific relationship, you have a man who is 22 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't want to use 22 years old as a child. That is not a child legally. Second off, he's even old enough to drink and do everything else except maybe rent a car. But he could do literally everything else. And he could rent a car. It's just going to be a little deposit.
I guess he got it.
So my problem is conflating this with men who literally are grooming children or teenagers or high schoolers. This is a grown man who, mind you, in terms of maturity, he is in his career, the career that he will probably have for the next 15 to 20 years of his life. He has bills. He probably provides and takes care for a majority of his family. He has adult things that he is dealing with and handling. And at 22 years old, while a woman or a man can get married at 22 years old, and if it's two 22-year-olds, no one bothers with it, I actually feel like a baby in this dynamic with a woman who already has two children, with a woman who has already been a mother, I think that the child has a better chance of having a better upbringing in this scenario than two 22-year-olds having a child together.
With a 21-year-old kid who just became...
She also has another kid that she had with Orlando.
I know. I'm talking about him as a dad. You think this situation is super great? Like,
here's the thing.
Just because he's rich?
No situation is going to be perfect. But to me, growing up with no resources of money, and this again could be my ignorance, I do believe my upbringing could have been a lot easier, not only on my mom, but on our household had we had a little bit more fun.
Now, yes. I recently saw something that said, a child having a happy home actually has more to do with the mother's health and finances, which I believe. But
and
I will say this.
Seem healthy. And is financially
Did I bring up Ursula Burns on this podcast yet?
Who?
No, I didn't. Ursula Burns.
I literally didn't hear.
No, I didn't. Ursula Burns is a Black billionaire. I recently produced something that she was a part of. And I had no idea that she was a billionaire when I met her. But she made a joke about like how her and Oprah back in the day used to go back and forth on the Forbes list. She was the first Black woman CEO of Xerox. And she said something about being happy, healthy, and kind. And how these are the things that make you sleep well at night. This is what will bring you prosperity when you're this type of person. You're just going to live a good life this way. I believe that. I've met a lot of rich people and a few billionaires that do not have that attitude, right? I say all that to say, she didn't grow up with money and literally said, I had no idea. She's like, I knew I was poor, but I didn't because my mom was so about making us happy, healthy, and kind people. Like, I believe that we're putting way too much pressure on the family dynamic as we know it and money as we know it. Look at all these people all over the world that are happy. Drea and all of these types of girls online who are dating the rich guy, we're all fucking thinking these kids are living happy lives because they're super wealthy. That's not fucking true, bro.
I will say, and this is with the utmost respect, and I don't want you to feel offended when I say this.
Because I grew up with money?
You grew up with both parents and money.
Mandy, you're going to tell me that kids with money haven't suffered?
Wait, one moment. I did not say that, and you're putting words in my mouth. I will say, as someone who did not grow up in that way, where again, I literally was in a shelter for a year. My Christmases were dependent on the Salvation Army. We had certain foods only if we had food stamps, Section 8, to where I couldn't go on certain field trips, or I had to ask my friend's parents to pay for me on field trips. I will say, if there was even just a little bit more money for how we grew up, and my mom could only do what she did as a single parent, my dad not speaking to me because she wanted more child support. I get where you're coming from, and with all sincerity, without growing up with those things, I'm telling you, things could have, or in my mind, be better. And I'm not saying that
Jalen Green is not going to promise a good life.
That's fine. But again, also being a woman who is raising multiple children, to sit here and put healthy kind. I don't think I even went to the dentist until I was in middle school because we didn't have the money to.
I'm just talking about, like, you're getting surface and I'm getting deeper than
I'm getting deep because I'm bringing up what this was like.
Happy, healthy, kind. This girl was talking about how her mom made sure they were active, how they were doing certain things. I'm just simply saying we can't act like because the nigga's rich, they're going to have a good life. How many basketball players are barely giving these women money? We talk about Brittany Renner, who's barely getting shit from her baby daddy, who's rich. We see time and time again.
Crazy? I never brought up Jalen's money. I said that
you did. No, you said money.
No. I did not. You're bringing up money.
No, you brought up money. One moment, you had more.
I brought up that Drea at 30. My only point in this whole thing was not money at all.
I didn't hear you talking about money. That's literally how we started talking about money.
Yeah, you brought up money because of the billionaire.
No, I didn't.
My only point in this was that I think that Drea at 39 years old, already being a mother of two, and Jalen at 22. This dynamic of that parenthood and that structure actually seems healthier and would create an even better child than two 22-year-olds. That was my point.
I mean, I didn't bring up money. The only reason I talked about that billionaire lady is because she started poor. That was to your point. When I'm talking about the Drea in this scenario, I just think that it's very clear she wouldn't be dating this. He's a kid to me. Maybe he's a consenting kid, but like, he's young.
He's not a kid.
Okay, he's 21.
We got to stop using those words. This is not a kid. He's 22.
Okay. He's a 21-year-old grown man. If he was not rich, she wouldn't be with him. And clearly, Drea's a baddie. She deserves to be with a rich nigga. I do think a 21-year-old young man who hasn't even experienced life yet, I think it's fucking weird. And mind you, we have different opinions, but it is all because of money. And I say that it's a very, like, strong point. I know I was fortunate enough to have two parents, but I don't think that this is going to be the healthiest thing. I don't think they're going to be on together. That nigga's 21, 20, 22 years old now. He's about to live an amazing fucking life, get all this pussy thrown at him. Drea's only going to get older. Like, she don't want to be in the fucking clubs keeping up with this nigga.
You could be with Daddy after your same age, it ain't going to last forever.
That's very true, but it's not just to say that they'll have the healthiest scenario. I don't believe it. I think if Sierra didn't meet Russell, who knows how future's life would be, right? Like, you don't know. Like, money is just such a small factor of the health of this kid because so many women fucking get pregnant by these rich niggas, and we see every tabloid in Sherwood laughs at them because they don't get enough child support.
Like, you said healthy, kind, and what was the other one?
And happy.
If Jalen and Drea are both healthy, kind, and happy, do their ages matter?
Well, I mean, you're saying in terms of them being parents?
In terms of, being a family.
My opinion is that it's weird.
Okay.
Right?
You can hold that. A lot of people agree with that.
I mean, I'm not saying that this kid, like, I'm not saying that Drea won't have a healthy pregnancy or they won't be happy together. I'm just saying, like, I still think it's weird. I don't think they'll end up being together forever. I think that gap is really strong. And I think Drea's probably, how do you even?
I mean, and maybe I'm leaning
a 21-year-old father. You think he wanted, and you think he did family planning with Drea?
And I'll be honest with you, on the other end, I'm maybe leaning into this. Yes, there was a lot of differences with us, but this is literally the age gap of me and my ex. I was 30, he was 47 when we met.
Okay.
We didn't come on here and y'all didn't bash me when I talked about my 17-year age.
Someone in their 30s dating someone in their 40s is not as weird as a 21-year-old man. Thank you. Like, we're really going to really act.
This isn't right or wrong. It's opinion versus opinion.
I'm just saying, like, that gap. I don't believe your gap, Mandy, is like the same as Drea's. You guys are both mature adults. You're in the workforce. Like, you've lived a life. You graduated college. You've had a phase of your fucking life. Like, come on. two can have conversations on the same fucking level. A 21-year-old and a 39-year-old woman is completely different. Not to mention, it is fucking weird that you've now started a family dynamic with your son and your new boyfriend at the same age. Them having the same brain is weird. How are you going to lead my family?
I ain't going to hold you.
Answer that, Manny.
Niggas in their 50s not leading families. I'm just so annoyed. I swear to God. Like, I'm so annoyed with this age gap. Let's be very clear. Because of experience, jobs, whatever location you are, if you're in middle America, you're not going to be as mature as if you get raised in New York City. Like, if you're in the South, you're not going to be the same as if you're raised in fucking Oklahoma.
Fine.
Like, to me, let's be very clear. This person is now, he's probably world-traveled. He done been overseas. He got his passport. He fucking has to pay bills and do things at a younger age to where the maturity of this man cannot be just compared to just any old motherfucking 22-year-old. And so to me, we have to consider or be considerate of just where people are in their lives. And I'm also sick of people sitting here victimizing these motherfucking athletes that know exactly what the fuck they're doing. Just like the hoes they fuck with. Know exactly what the fuck they're doing. No,
you
one is
think
the victim
that
here.
Okay, all right.
No,
I'm not
the victim here.
I think that you're feeling away because you voiced that you're cool with like
I was just
dating
fucking
a young
22-year-old.
That's my point. I feel like that's why you're going hard.
But no, it's not that I'm going hard. You just went really hard too. You believe it's weird. I believe that people doesn't matter what age. Some of it works. Some of it doesn't. It's the person. Let's be very clear. Me at my grown age. Still had a lot of differences with my ex that was 17 years older than me. Me at my age of 33 definitely had differences with the 22-year-old that I was that I was just dealing with. Like at the end of the
day, fucked up my outline.
But no, let's be very no, bitch. You went off on a tangent. Let's be very clear. I also just believe that we're sitting here again. Why the fuck? I'm so glad I'm not doing this other podcast. I don't have to sit here and have opinions about the decisions of everybody the fuck else. Because what works for me may not sit here and align with all of y'all's motherfucking opinions.
Did you and Bridget
argue like
this? Y'all
was so upset that I went back to that nigga 13 times. Like, it is what it is. We all sit here and make these decisions that we feel fit us. I'll be honest, though. That 22-year-old motherfucker probably got the same goddamn capacity of a brain as a motherfucker who's 70. And from what I've been dealing with these motherfucking niggas, that's what it is. Not one age is better than the next. Yes. Ooh, yeah, you have more fucking life experience.
I mean,
more
bro,
baggage.
I have to be honest. In terms of even my friendships, like, I can't be friends with girls at that age because they're not able to withstand conversations at the level I am. Like, I can't take them out around niggas that I be with because they're fucking kids. I understand you don't want to call them kids, but Manny, I disagree with that. I don't know your youngest homegirl, but the youngest homegirl I have right now is 25, and I literally hit her up if I just want to go get drinks because she lives nearby me. There's nothing that... Our lives are different. I get it because he's rich and wealthy and has a big job and goes on planes, fine, but like that nigga probably didn't even have to do anything in college because he had a body. He could fucking make money off his literal ability.
There's a lot of niggas with they looks that can't hold a conversation.
No. I'm talking about body. Like, he was able to profit off of his sports ability. So, you just like you said before, these niggas be dumb. These athletes be dumb. Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and let's be very clear. Right. I hung out with the pretty girls. Who's to say that Drea has the biggest, best vocabulary? Like, they actually may be on the same space. Go to LA a lot. Them bitches ain't got nothing to say. They're just pretty. So... Let's be very clear.
I mean,
they may be right on the same playing field.
Drea, I think, may be a little bit different, even
of
though
course,
I don't.
And I don't know her personally. So,
well, no. I'm saying Drea's kind of. Drea's done some work. Like, Drea's been able to make and keep up her millions and keep up a brand. And I think that's pretty good because a lot of these bitches haven't. So, whether kind of like a Heather Sanders, right? They're able to like make a brand, keep their name going, and recirculate that money, keep a check. I think that's why we like Drea. I mean, we as in like. I think there's girls online that have that quote unquote look that women are just like, oh, you don't really do much. I don't think Drea is one of them.
People still say that about Kim. Like, again, everybody going to have an opinion. Whether it's right or wrong, everybody going to have a motherfucking opinion. People still be like, oh my God, Kim is only rich because of her looks. No. So to me, again, I just think we've all made.
Kim is only rich because she's a listen.
And see, I disagree with whatever you're about to say.
I'm joking. Kim will keep a nigga.
See?
Kim will keep a nigga. And you know what I'm saying.
She with Odell, and I'm here for it.
Listen.
Drake probably mad.
I actually think it's kind of weird when people are like, how many men has she dated? And I'm like, bro, she can't date a regular nigga.
And neither can Drake.
Okay, but there's... Mandy.
She's been out for the last, what, 18 years? She probably, let me get the new bunch that's around.
Drea and Kim Kardashian are not on the same level, baby. Drea can date a corporate nigga. Drea can date an exec. Drea can date a wealthy man. She does not have to be. Drea is not Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
But she does deserve.
That's the hierarchy that you're putting them in. I think they are literally could date the same people.
Because they're both hot?
You just said that Drea is gorgeous. She deserves a rich nigga. I'm not going to compare a Drea and a Kim. I don't have to compare their dollars or their beauty. I think that they deal with the same niggas. Let's be very clear. Me and Drea Eskimo sisters. So I'm fucking the same niggas that these bitches is fucking, okay? Shit.
Kim doesn't need to fucking get pregnant by a 21-year-old to have an upkeep lifestyle, bro.
You just said that Drea is a millionaire. Drea probably didn't need to get pregnant by this man either.
Okay, do you think Drea dated him because he's great? Or you think she dated him because he's rich?
That's another problem, I think. That man is attractive. So you're attractive and you're rich. It's not like he's an ugly nigga.
I actually am.
Like, it ain't like he's Reggie Miller.
I'm really curious if there's anyone. I believe that anyone listening has an opinion that's left or right. I want to know in the comments on YouTube if any one of the things we said swayed your opinion the other way. Because you did bring up some great points, but I don't know. I guess I can never
just want to go through the comments to see that she was right.
No, I don't. I think our community.
Feel like there's a right or wrong in this.
Mind you, when I say that, I did not mean it like that. I actually think more people will agree because from a sex positive perspective or woman empowerment perspective, they'll be like, if men can do it, why can't she? But you know what? Y'all niggas argue in the comments and maybe we'll do a part two on Patreon and read them. So I did have an outline, but we'll try it again next week. See, the thing is, we're never going to talk about.
This is what we're doing, bro. You're so petty, bro.
No, I was just going to say, we'll never talk about current events again.
No.
Did you encourage anybody like this?
I'm not going to lie. I don't want to talk current events like ever again.
Well, it was part of the vanilla shit.
I know.
Yeah, Eden, what the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to get this shit going.
He's actually, been like this. I don't know if you've even been paying
attention. No, not wrap up. You should have said, hey, lady.
Did you send him that one?
Do you have a sex tip?
Well, maybe he didn't. Did you send him the outline? Maybe you should include Eden into the production.
Maybe you should shut the fuck up.
Maybe you shouldn't be sitting here trying to get on our Ecuadorian back then. Ecuadorian.
Bitch, at least I made one, ho.
Nicaraguan.
Y'all, come and check us out at the Black Effect Festival. We're going to be in Atlanta on
April 27th,
there's
baby.
A lot of podcasts there. Our Poor Minds girl is going to be there. There's going to be, I'm really excited to see Gillian Wallow.
I've never
seen Debbie Brown. I want to do a little meditation session with my girl. Can't wait
to see. Yeah, there's going to be some good
Pretty
people
v.
there.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going right up to Pretty V. I'm going to be like, hey, bitch, wasn't you laughing when Christina Mackey and Rick Ross broke up?
Again, current events. Also, make sure you check us out in London. The very following weekend, we will be in London at the Earth Theater. That's May the 5th. Make sure you go to whorehive.com to get your tickets. And then at the very end of the month, on May the 27th, we will be a part of the Togetherland Festival as headliners, bitch. Ooh. And we will be on the Sunday night lineup. So make
She's
sure
gonna take her horse to the altar. Ooh, Beyonce album gonna be out next week, bitch. I'm gonna be in Emily.
So make sure you go to, I believe that's togetherlandfest.com and get your tickets now to see us live there. And y'all, Jesus Christ, this is all over the place, but this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
And you love it. You love it all over the place. Just that, like, a come in my eye.
It's bonus bitches.
For those of you niggas that aren't spending another $5, we are now in 4K, 6K, or 6K if you're nasty. So upgrade to the next tier to see this episode on video. And if you're already looking at us, you're welcome because my titties are out.
Are they? Yeah, they are kind of out.
Sorry.
And baby, I'm in here with a goddamn hoodie and sneakers because this weather is ridiculous. I just got back from fucking Miami and I didn't know that I was coming back home to a snowstorm.
Was it fucking Miami or what?
It was sucking Miami.
Why wasn't it fucking?
Girl, because the nigga got too drunk and threw up all over himself. So no dick took place there. So yeah, and he's just like, I feel so terrible. And I'm like,
you should.
Yeah, you should. But also,
wait, how was it sucking?
So because I sucked him before the Super Bowl. But then we had to all go watch the Super Bowl. And so we all came. And I had fun with it. Like, I had my homegirl sit on the couch while I did it. Because he kind of, like, I'm trying to inch him to a threesome. He hasn't had, like, a threesome,
yet.
Did she want a threesome with him? We fucked already before, though. So I was like, girl, just come downstairs and watch me suck this nigga dick real quick. And So it's so funny because he was so nervous. And that's like my homegirl, homegirl. So she was like, yes, bitch, that shit sound wet. You doing that thing? But no, I literally was like, girl, just come down here and watch me suck this nigga dick real quick.
Why didn't you join in and start
sucking dick? Because he was so nervous even that. Like, he's sitting there, and, bitch, the game just started. And I'm like, nigga, you ain't finna make me Miss Usher. We got to go to this party. So I'm like going at his pants. And he literally just pulled it out. Then it's just sitting on his chest. So I like just go to start sucking it. His dick is ginormous. His dick is amazing.
Okay, so it was a good dick to watch.
No, his dick is great. Well, no, she felt nervous to even look because he was so nervous. Bitch, he was just like this. Like, he was so... Bitch, he was so fucking nervous. I was just like, oh my God, this is so annoying.
Set the scene. So are you staying in the room with him?
No, he gets me... That's why she came. I get my own room every time he flies me out.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because I do. And I sent him my first class ticket. I don't need to be all up under your shit. And I wanted to be with my friend. Like, I had invited her to the game. And he, I was driving around with her. So I got my own room. When I went to, when I go to, like, anywhere I go, I get my own room. And so I'll go to his room or he'll come to mine. But we don't sleep together. Like, we don't do all the cuddling and shit.
It's new. So anyway.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Well, no, you said it's new, but normally you do.
Well, it's not new. Like, it's the nigga that I would go and see, like, when my ex was.
So you guys both come downstairs. Does he know she's coming downstairs?
We went upstairs.
He knew. He
said no. He knew. He said. He said both of y'all come down, and I was like, okay. And of course, he was like, "You trust her?" I was like, "Bro, I'm not gonna bring nobody around that I don't trust." So
but wait, hold on. So. He knew you were coming down to suck his dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was coming down for.
Because I'm like, if he said both of y'all come down, why are you coming down for?
Because he's scary. He's just scary. I couldn't imagine. I would not be the hoe I am today if I had to go through that type of party and shit that these girls have to go to. Literally, for y'all, I'll share what the experience is like. So a lot of like basketball players now don't like going to clubs because there's phones, they get drunk, they get shit-faced.
They literally It's crazy.
They make clubs. So they'll like turn a restaurant or like a lounge into their own club. There'll be a DJ, there'll be an open bar, there's bottle service, there's hookah, there's all the things. Except for niggas.
The bottle service part is the weirdest part.
It's weird.
The way.
Oh, they were coming out with sparklers,
bro. I went
to
one at the Mondrian. It was like, you know when they were... I don't know if you've been to one of those.
I don't know.
But basically, at the Mondrian in New York, there's this top floor. It's probably like a lounge anyway, but it turns into a club. So I walk in, and I didn't know that type of party it was. I knew a ball player invited me, but I just kind of thought he was having drinks with friends because we're not fucking with each other. So it didn't really... He was like, yo, I'm in New York too. Come through. So the bodyguard or the security looks at me and he's like, okay, she's cute, but is she invited to this party? I was like, I'm looking for my friend so-and-so. And he's like, okay, well, you'd have to go upstairs. I was like, okay.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.